Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A big weekend coming up. The AFC playoff picture coming a little bit more into focus. We'll find out on Sunday what it looks like. But there's eight teams right now in the mix, only seven spots available for the playoffs. So there's going to be a very good team in the AFC that gets left out, and then we can all whine about how whoever wins the NFC East is going to get in on the other side. But, Joe, as you look at this AFC playoff picture, it's interesting, I think, to try to identify how teams rank. Where do the Titans fit in right now? Where do the Bills fit in? What is the biggest challenger to the Kansas City Chiefs at this point? So we have ranked our AFC playoff contenders 1 through 8. So we'll go back and forth here. I'll start us off with number one.
Number one.
Joe, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the 14-1 Kansas City Chiefs, who are the reigning Super Bowl champions, are number one in terms of AFC playoff contenders at this moment. I know it hasn't always been pretty. I know that it hasn't always been easy for the Chiefs this year. They're still 14-1. They're still pretty good. They still have a chance to win the league MVP with Patrick Mahomes, and I have a feeling once the playoffs come around and they turn it on, they're going to be very difficult to beat. I'm going to go out on a limb, Joe, and say that you also had the Chiefs at number one.
Do you think anyone out there – I do, but do you think that anyone out there would put the Bills number one?
Stillman.
Did Stillman put the Bills number one?
Well, he didn't put the Bills number one in ranking the eight playoff teams, but he was very adamant yesterday that if – he had to pick them today, if they were playing Sunday in Arrowhead,
yeah,
that he would pick the Bills to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. It's bold. I mean, I don't think he's on an island there. I think it's a little bit, you know, getting caught up in the moment. But, hey, they look awfully good. But, yeah, look, the Chiefs have looked pedestrian here a little bit lately. But, yeah, look, I think you have to go there. They have the championship DNA. And they still have the most lethal offense out there. It hasn't always looked like it, but I imagine they'll get things cranked up here next month.
Number two.
Joe, at number two, I have the Buffalo Bills. Look, it's taken me a long time this year to really become a believer in Josh Allen. But it's hard not to be at this point, just based on the way he's played and just the amount of improvement that he's seen. I said it the other day here on the show. I'm not sure I've seen a guy go from what I would consider to be a liability at the quarterback position to now one of the best players in the league at that position. It's been pretty remarkable what they've been able to do with Josh Allen at quarterback this year and how well he's played. So I think when you factor that in, Stephon Diggs and how well he's played, and then that defense, who I think has the ability to make plays and make stops against the Kansas City Chiefs, I think you have to go with the Bills at number two right now.
Yeah, I'd love to, zig here while you're zagging, but I have to go there. He looks really good, and their defense looks like it's really figuring some things out. They've got some people back. They can play coverage, and they can match up against a lot of teams. They're more disruptive lately on defense. It's a pretty good defense and right now just a lethal offense. So I think very few people right now would look at the AFC and put the Bills lower than that.
Number three.
This is where this list started to get really difficult for me, because I'll be honest with you, Joe. Right now, based on the way the teams are playing and based on the flaws that I think other teams in the AFC have, I think there's a pretty steep drop-off after Kansas City and Buffalo right now. I really do. And I know that we've talked about it all year, and we've kind of gone back and forth on who the biggest threat to Kansas City is. But just based on the way that teams are trending right now, I think there's a pretty big drop-off. I'm going to go with the Titans at number three, just based on the fact that their offense is that good. I mean, I know people watched the game Sunday night, and it wasn't good offensively, and I think there's been some overreaction to that this week. I think the Titans' offense is going to come back. They'll be fine this week against Houston. I think pretty much regardless of who they match up against in the playoffs, they'll be fine, and they'll be able to put up points. But the defense is awful. I mean, it's really bad. So it was a struggle. I'm not confident putting the Titans at three. I look around the rest of the AFC. I think there are flaws everywhere with each of the teams that we're about to talk about. But just based on the potential of this Titans offense and how good I know it can be, I've got the Titans right now at number three.
So I think I called the shot. I don't remember what week, but after they had lost three in a row, that the Ravens were going to make the playoffs. Maybe I just said it on the show. I don't know. Regardless, they are my number three team. They could be anywhere. I agree with you. There's a big drop off. It's hard to sort these teams from here, but you mentioned trending. For the last five games, the Ravens have given up less than 20 points. They had that wild shootout win over the Browns too. But other than that, they have really, started to figure things out defensively, getting healthier, and then they're running the heck out of the football. And, I just think that psychologically the Ravens, and I'm putting them in because I think, you know, they're going to beat the Bengals. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I think they're in an interesting position in this postseason of people not, you know, expecting a ton of them. And I think that they kind of hit rock bottom and they rebounded from it. And I think they're very dangerous, even though, yes, they got to prove it. Lamar Jackson has to prove it that they can win in the postseason with that offense and with him at quarterback. But I think that they have a chance to win more than one game in this postseason. So they're my number three.
Number four.
Yeah, I've got the Ravens at number four. I like the way that they're trending right now. I will say, I mean, the hesitation I have with that is, you know, the last few games they played the Cowboys, a good win against the Browns, and then they played the Jags and the New York Giants. So I don't really know how much stock I put into that. I know it's the NFL, and you've got to show up and play every week, and I certainly feel like, you know, their offense has been a lot better lately. Their schedule's been rough, and it's been, you know, obviously the Jags are awful. The Giants, not very good. Cowboys are awful on defense. So I don't put a ton of stock into what the Ravens have been able to do lately. I like the way that Lamar Jackson is playing right now. You mentioned the defense playing well as well, but I still have some red flags with them kind of forecasting what their playoff success could look like. But just based on the way everybody else is playing right now and some of the concerns I have with them, I do have the Ravens at number four.
Yeah, I will say, I think I agree with all that. The Giants have had a good defense, a good rush defense, and that's one thing that the Ravens did that was impressive. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the Jags, that's a gimme. I'm flopping and going Titans at four. And again, same thing. It's just like the offense still gives them a chance here. I mean, they have a chance to outscore, I think, just about anyone in this field on a good day. But it's just – it really – it's two teams, you know, and the other team is terrible. So I still think that the offense, even given what we saw Sunday night in Green Bay, I'm going to give them a mulligan for that until they prove otherwise. And, hey, they may prove otherwise and just not be in the playoffs at all, but I got them fourth.
Yep.
Number five.
There we go. Fourth a little late on the trigger there for number five. At number five, yep. I've got I thought you'd hit the button, and you did not hit the button, but that's okay. Number five, I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't feel great about it. And, you know, up until the second half of that Colts game, I was wondering if the Steelers may be towards the bottom in the AFC in terms of the true threat, the way they were trending. I was impressed with the way they were able to come back in the game in the second half. I don't know if that had more to do with the Steelers than it did the Indianapolis Colts. But I do like the defense. I do like T.J. Watt. I know there's been some injuries there. But I think the defense that Pittsburgh has at least gives you a chance if Ben can somewhat throw the ball down the field, which he's done at times, did it in the second half the other day against Indy, but at times has also looked terrible in that regard. So I don't feel great about it, but I've got the Steelers at number five.
Yeah, I do too, and I also don't feel great about it. It is amazing. It's like, hey, try to throw it downfield. Amazing how that works. They still can't run the ball. They don't try to run the ball. And their defense is just – it's banged up, and it's you know, it's not what it was earlier in the year for sure. You know, I still think back to, like, the loss to the Bengals. Man, they got manhandled up front defensively in that game. And, you know, it was happening to them again against the Colts. It can be a little bit of fool's gold here. You know, you're down big. You go on this big run in the second half. You get hot offensively. You get a couple stops in there defensively. And I know Colts fans are furious with Frank Reich, and that's all they're talking about is, like, the play calling. They stopped running the ball and all that stuff. It can be a little bit – you know, a little bit deceiving maybe, but I still think, I mean, those receivers are so good. Like you said, TJ Watt. I mean, I like that they're getting this rest this week, and I think they're still going to be a dangerous team.
Number six. I've got the Indianapolis Colts, and they were on the way, Joe, on Sunday to probably being at number three on this list for me. They're running the ball a lot better now. Jonathan Taylor seems like he's figured it out. I like a lot of what they have defensively. And then they kind of fell apart defensively in the second half against Pittsburgh. And then the one thing that we've talked about all year long that I think is a huge limitation for the Colts, and that is Phillip Rivers. And another Phillip Rivers kind of death interception, how I like to call it, happened again on Sunday, where he just throws one inexplicably to the other team that really wasn't all that close. That happens again, and that's too big of a concern for me right now with the Colts, where you need to have some throws. I just don't think Phillip Rivers can do it, so I've got them at number six.
Yeah, so I go Browns here, and that's the difference is at quarterback. I mean, we've seen the Browns beat the Colts, and that was a long time ago. But why did they beat the Colts? Phillip Rivers. And I think with the Browns, a lot of people are gonna dismiss them. I mean, look, I'm not kidding when I think they're gonna. When I say I think they might blow it here, you know, against the Steelers backups. But let's also remember that Baker Mayfield didn't have any of his receivers against the Jets. They had a late breaking COVID situation, and I still think when they have everything, they've got a heck of a nice balance on offense and an okay defense. I put them just ahead of the Colts simply because of that, because of Phillip Rivers, who just ultimately does just enough to hurt his team, which I think other than him is constructed to win in the postseason.
Number seven.
Yeah, I've got the Browns at number seven. You don't get to be any higher than seven on my list when you lose to the New York Jets. I don't care what the circumstances are. You lost to the Jets. You're number seven, and you're the Cleveland Browns. That's pretty much all I have to say about them, Joe.
Yeah, so I go Colts here, and, you know, another thing with the Colts from Sunday and at other times this year, boy, did they get torched downfield. They are terrific up front defensively, great offensive line. Jonathan Taylor's really running the ball like I thought he would all year, but he looks like the guy I thought they got out of Wisconsin. So, again, I like a lot of them. I don't trust Phillip Rivers, and you can throw on those guys. So, you know, if they get in, I still think they could be dangerous. I mean, look, we're down to seven here, and these are good teams.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a good field, and that's why an 11-5 team could be left out of the playoffs with an expanded, you know, 7-team field. So it's good teams. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, look, if you're the Colts, right, if you're a Colts fan right now, I mean, to me, you've got to be like, look, we have too much going for us to – not go get a better quarterback.
Yeah.
But that's for later.
No, I agree. Absolutely. And that means both of us at number eight.
Number eight.
Have the Miami Dolphins. No respect to Fitzmagic / Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, even though they have the number one scoring defense in the league, Joe.
Yeah, see, the problem is I haven't watched them a ton this year, admittedly. but I did watch him against the Raiders. It did not look like the number one scoring defense.
It did not look
now, of
right.
course, now few people can deal with Darren Waller when he's doing stuff like that.
That is true.
Just he's an absolute freak. But yeah, they're a good defensive team, good backs, and I think Tua's going to be really good. You know, he looks like a rookie at times. That's going to be a really interesting situation for them. Because they were just flat out better when Fitz magic came in the game. But you know, we know with him too, and it's a little bit like Phillip Rivers, you can look good for a while. And then, oh no, there's the pick six, you know, and that's where it's just hard to trust that team right now. Still a heck of a year for them to even be in this discussion.
So we've laid it out there. We've got the power rankings from our point of view in the AFC. Is there a potential playoff matchup that Titans fans are rooting for out of this power rankings that we've laid out there? We'll discuss that when we come back. Also, we'll be yelled at by Ryan Porth. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe and I have laid it out there. We've thrown out our AFC power rankings. Both have the Chiefs and the Bills at 1 and 2. We flip-flopped the Titans and the Ravens at 3 and 4. Pittsburgh at 5, flip-flop the Colts and the Browns at 6 and 7, and then neither one of us have any respect whatsoever, apparently, for the Miami Dolphins at number 8. Ryan Porth, you have a response to the power rankings that Rex Road and I have thrown out there.
So while you guys were going through this exercise, I was also going through this exercise, and I actually have the Colts at 3.
Really?
I have the Colts
at... Even with Papa Phillip Rivers?
Yes, even with him, because they have a pretty, pretty good defense and a pretty, pretty good running game. And in January, those two things combined can win games. So, and I like Frank Reich as a coach. I think you could put the Colts, Titans, Ravens, Steelers, maybe the Browns in a blender. And however it spits out, you can make a case for it.
Joe Rexrow, does Ryan Porth give too much respect on an annual or on a weekly basis to the Indianapolis Colts?
Maybe a little bit, because
the
again,
Colts have
defense,
scarred him so much.
Yeah, and I get it. But yeah, you gotta let's give Phillip Rivers his due credit for throwing horrific interceptions. Again, that defense, man, didn't look very good to me against an offense that like was utterly miserable for weeks. I mean, honestly, that's just And I probably have the Colts way higher if it doesn't happen, but it did happen, you know? So, like, letting them off the mat like that. And also, I just think back to – and I know Buckner wasn't in there, but really both times we saw the Titans, things blew up on them against the Colts, you know, in the second half of the first game. But I don't think the Colts D is that good. I think it's good. The overall numbers are good, but you can throw on that team. I mean, I think, I think that the Bills and the Ravens potentially are better, and maybe even the Steelers, you know, better defensively for January than the Colts are. But maybe I just don't have enough respect for them.
So even though the Titans just got thrashed on Sunday Night Football, we still both have them in the top four. I've got them at number 3 in the AFC. Joe, you've got them at number 4 in the AFC based on the offense and how good we know that it's been this year. I do think, and I said this in the last segment, I think there's been some overreacting this week to the offense and how much they struggled in the snow at Lambeau against Green Bay. Look, it was a bad day. I mean, it happens sometimes. I don't expect a whole lot more bad days from this Titans offense, and neither does our man Teron Davenport. He was talking about the Titans offense, how they stack up against other AFC teams, and what kind of a threat they can be. Here's what our man Teron Davenport had to say. Well, we'll get that Teron Davenport audio here in just a second. We've got it on the line for you. But are we ready for it now, Porth? Here is the audio from Teron Davenport and what he had to say yesterday about the Titans offense.
You got to see what you would call a shutdown type corner on the other side of the football. Well, in 23, you know, Jaire Alexander. But when you don't have that in your secondary, and at the same time, you don't have a guy, you got to see that on the other side of the ball, too, in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. When you don't have at least one of those two things, defense is going to be an Achilles heel. And that's exactly what is going on with this Titans team. So that makes me not able to call them a contender. But they are that type of team that when things get rolling, they are really hard to beat. And when things get rolling and when they put that plan together and it falls into place, they could beat just about anybody. That's why I'm in between, because I don't see them losing. Like, I can't just outright say, hey, they'll lose to this team, this team, and this team.
So that was Teron Davenport yesterday. And, Joe, you look at this Titans offense. I get it. The defense is so bad, and it's been bad all season long. But if you're getting into a shootout with some of these other teams and the Titans offense is clicking at their top level like we've seen a lot this year, I still feel like on a given Sunday they can hang in there and win. I'm not sure that they can hang in there with Kansas City right now. I'm not sure they can hang in there with Buffalo. Any of these other teams with that offense, I think they can hang in there.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think those are probably the two that just the Bills are just right now. I mean, the confidence with Josh Allen, I think Stephon Diggs looks like he's just about as good as anybody playing his position in the NFL at this moment with everything he's doing. I think you take those teams and say it would take, you know, some breaks, you know, for the Titans, I think, to beat those two teams right now. Again, if you did the whole, you know, play 10 times, how many times are you going to beat the Chiefs or Bills? I don't think too many. But I think with any of these other teams, the Titans is offensively can have big days. We mentioned the Colts. It is, I think, you know, with Buckner, there was a difference, certainly, for the Titans with and without. Big difference. Without him, they just did whatever the heck they wanted to do. Still think they could throw on that team. I think the Steelers, I think they could have a lot more success running on them now than they did in the first game. You know, Henry had 20 for 75 in that game. Again, didn't touch the ball in the fourth quarter because of his defense. But they are weaker now. And, you know, the Browns and the Ravens too. I mean, I do think the Ravens are getting better on D. I think that's the most likely matchup is Titans-Ravens if you go by the, you know, the probabilities here. And I think that's a real scary game if that's what happens. But you can't tell me the Titans can't beat that team. We've seen it twice in the last calendar year, and they could certainly do it again. So I think they can match up with anybody. I would take those top two right now and say those matchups I would almost put in the long shot category.
So if you're a Titans fan out there, is there a particular matchup in the first round of the playoffs that you're rooting for? Obviously, you hope the Titans get in the playoffs first, but if they do, is there a particular matchup that you're rooting for? Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, I know you guys are saying the Titans are hoping the Bills play their starters, but I'd rather them sit their starters and the Dolphins win so we have a chance to play the Dolphins in the first round. That's an offense our defense could stop once or twice during the game. I'm glad that Tyler put that little caveat in there. I mean, yeah, maybe once or twice they'll be able to stop that Dolphins offense.
Some actual punts from the opponent. No way. Yeah, it is an interesting thing for rooting interest. You know, if you're a Titans fan watching the early game Sunday, because that's exactly right. If the Dolphins win, now you are set up to probably take them on in the 4-5 game if you win. And that, I mean, to me, that is the most appealing matchup. Just because, as he said, it's just their offense doesn't scare you. All these other teams, and I'm including the Ravens in this, they could all go for a number on the Titans the way they're playing D. I mean, look, I'm not going to say the Dolphins couldn't, but I think the Titans have a chance for more stops in that game. So if the Dolphins win, you feel good about that. Other than, you know, now you that's part of the formula for you to not even be in the playoffs at all.
That's the that's part makes me nervous.
If your team doesn't win this game, you know, if your team doesn't win this game, then you don't want to see them in the playoffs.
Sure you do. Put them in the playoffs. People have bad losses all the time, Joe. 10-6, you want to see them in the playoffs.
I mean, if
I hear what you're saying.
If your team can't handle this, you know, how would you feel about, like, if the Titans back in with one of these games, like let's say that's what it is, you know, the Bills beat the Dolphins, and that's how the Titans back into the playoffs, losing to the Texans. Sure, you'll take it, but you've blown the division, you know, and your first chance to win the division in 12 years, and there's just zero momentum. Yeah, I mean, no one's going to say, okay, forfeit, never mind, we won't show up. But, I mean, this should come down to your team winning.
It would certainly not inspire any confidence whatsoever that they have anything to show in the playoffs if you can't get it done this weekend against the Texans. So speaking of confidence in the Titans, what is the ceiling for this team? How far of a run can they go on this year in the playoffs? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Tennessee Titans are a hard team for me to read because when they're right, they're as good as anybody, except obviously some defensive flaws that you've alluded to. But they go from being really right to really not right more than almost any good team in the NFL this season, and that's been really puzzling.
That was Trey Wingo on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday talking about the Titans and looking ahead to potentially what a playoff run could look like with this team. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. So, Joe, that gets us asking the question. As you try to forecast the next few weeks for the Titans, what is the Titans' ceiling? And that is our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What do you think is the true ceiling for the Titans in January? Is it only the division title? Is it one playoff win, two playoff wins, or a Super Bowl appearance? Right now, more than 190 votes in. 53% say the ceiling is one playoff win. 20% say it's the division title only. 18% say two playoff wins. And only 9% have faith that the Titans can make it to the Super Bowl this year, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, well, and you know, I feel like that's about how I would expect it to go. I can't sit here and say, like, there's no chance. Because we see teams go on runs all the time. We saw the Titans do it last year. It is different. Last year, they absolutely had momentum going in. It's interesting to hear what Trey Wingo said there. You know, I don't have every other team's entire season in mind, but in general, I think of this league as a league where you'll see a team win the Super Bowl after losing like 34-10 to a so-so team, like we saw the Patriots a few years ago. You know, like, I feel like every team has a couple bad results usually, even the really good teams in a given year. So I think about, so when have the Titans just completely fallen off the table here? Last Sunday, for sure. The first half against the Browns, for sure. And the Bengals game, for sure. You know, I mean, other than that, you know, and then you got the second half against the Colts. They're in that game, and it all blows up on them. Is that way more than other teams? I mean, even the Chiefs this year have figured out a way to win some of these games where they haven't played well, but they haven't played well. I mean, that's still for them. I don't know. When Trey says that, I'm trying to think, you know, is it true? Are they really, like, way more erratic than other teams?
Well, the way I kind of heard what he was saying there is when they fall off, like, they fall off hard. Like, you think of that first half against the Browns, like you said, and that's pretty extreme to allow what happened to them against the Browns. The other night at times with Aaron Rodgers, what he was able to do, I mean, that's pretty extreme, the amount of time he had back there. So I hear what you're saying. Like, I don't know if there's been a ton of examples of them just getting absolutely killed this year, but it does seem like when the offense runs into any sort of rut at all, and they fall off, that this team just absolutely falls apart just based on how bad the defense is. So that's the way I took that.
Well, and I think what that means is that their floor is lower than some of these teams. You know, like, they can come out. Again, they lost to the Bengals. Now, you'll find bad losses from some of these other teams too. You know, the Colts are fighting for a playoff life because they lost to the Jags, even though that was week one. But I do think the Titans, the floor is lower in terms of, like you said, they can just, it can get bad on them. But if we're talking about their ceiling, you know, that's what we're trying to figure out. What is their ceiling? I think it's still pretty high. You know, it's high in terms of, can they win multiple games in this postseason? I think they can. It's just going to take the best of what they have. And we've seen plenty of that this year too. You know, we've seen them get on rolls where, again, you mix in a stop or two and you are extending yourself past that team because they can't stop you. And that's what it, I mean, that's what the hope is, you know, is that is that, one, you know, the offense is at max capacity, gets past, you know, like TD brought up last segment. I mean, you got a corner, an elite corner, and you got really a couple pass rushers who give you a problem. How many teams in the AFC coming up here can throw that at the Titans offense?
Yeah, and that's – I mean, that look, it's obvious. That's going to have to be what carries this Titans team if they're going to make any sort of run in the playoffs. It's going to have to be the offense. And TD talked about that on with Jared and the GM yesterday, kind of looking ahead to what this Titans team could do in the playoffs. Here's what Teron Davenport had to say.
I honestly feel that outside of the Chiefs, they could shoot it out with whatever team. I fully feel that they could do that with the Browns. I think that they could do that with the Steelers. In fact, they did that. They actually did it with the Browns, too. I mean, even though they lost the game, they did come back and make that into a pretty solid game. So I feel like they're in good shape. I just can't call them a contender because I don't see them beating the Chiefs. But I can't call them a pretender because I don't see them losing. Like, I can't just outright say, hey, they'll lose to this team, and this team.
So that was Teron Davenport. And, Joe, he also threw out a stat yesterday, just kind of magnifying how good this offense has been. This is from TD yesterday on Twitter. It said the Titans have an NFL worst 15 sacks. Here are the teams and records with less in a 16-game schedule. It's the 2008 Chiefs. They had 10 sacks. They were 2-14. The 2018 Raiders finished with 13 sacks. They were 4-12. The 81 Colts finished with 13 sacks. They were 2-14. And the 2009 Jaguars finished with 14 sacks, and they were 7-9. So you're talking about the Titans with 15 sacks and just how good their offense has been that they've somehow, even with that, been able to get to 10-5.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, really. And again, I want to give John Glennon credit for this. I think the franchise record low is 31.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you're talking about right now half of that. And usually if you have that low number of sacks, also that probably means that you have a terrible rush defense. I mean, I would put those two things together, you know, that, like, you know, teams run on you, obviously pass on you, you are bad up front, and you can't stop teams in any way. The Titans, you know, the rush defense hasn't been good enough this year, but it hasn't been as bad as I think. I bet you those other teams probably had really bad rush defense numbers too, which leads to a lot of third and two and you know, just cuts down your opportunities to get sacks. But yeah, usually if you have no chance of affecting the other team's quarterback, you don't win, you know, twice as many games as you lose. And that is, I think, exactly right. An indication of this offense, which then gets you back to, man, don't waste this offense.
Right. And, you know, when you're talking about the ceiling of the Titans, I mean, obviously a lot of the conversation comes down to, all right, what are the matchups? What are they going to be in the playoffs? And we can't just absolutely know those for sure. But if I'm evaluating things, you know, how I think they'll go, obviously I think the Chiefs are going to be in it the whole time. Like we said in the last segment, really like the Bills, the way they're playing right now. So I look at it, like, if you get matched up with one of those two teams in the divisional round, right now, I mean, I think it's going to be really difficult for the Titans to win those games just because it's going to require a perfect day offensively. And I'm not saying the Titans can't have a perfect day offensively. I'm not saying they can't score almost literally every drive out there, but that's a heck of a lot to ask. And against some of these other teams, like the Colts, like the Ravens, like the Dolphins, I don't know if it'll quite be that extreme with the defense. I imagine this defense going up against Patrick Mahomes and that offense, or right now the way Josh Allen is playing and that Bills offense, even though I know they've already beaten them one time this year, and it's just difficult for me to imagine them coming up with enough stops for the Titans to win those games.
Right, so it's obviously a ton on the offense, but it's also a ton on what the defense has done in some of these games, which is forced turnovers.
Right.
You know, it's – I mean, this team is still tied for first in the NFL in turnover margin. I'll double check that, but I believe plus 11. And that's part of it too. That's an interesting stat too. That doesn't really go along with having such a bad defense. Some of it is taking care of the ball. You know, turnover margin is obviously both sides of the ball, but it's another kind of anomaly for this team that they can't get after the quarterback. They can't get quarterbacks to the ground. They can't get stops on third down. They're going to have the worst third down defense in the history of football, professional football, but they do get turnovers. You know, now is that fluky? Maybe it is a little bit. I know some of them have been, you know, tips at the line that turned into picks and things like that, but that's a big part of it. You have to give yourself some extra possessions. If you can't force punts, rip a ball out, tip a ball. You know, I think this secondary is, again, the one little glimmer of hope here is that we've seen one full game with Adoree Jackson in the snow against Davante Adams. You know, could things get significantly better with him now, Sunday and beyond, back there and give you a chance to be better overall because of it? I'm not going to rule that out.
Right. It's interesting to me, like, just looking at this Titans team right now and the pulse of the fan base, because I feel like, you know, nationally heading into the playoffs last year, probably not a ton of expectations for the Titans. But I think a lot of fans here locally, like when they got matched up against the Patriots, they're like, okay, yeah, we can win that game. I think there's a lot of Titans fans right now that, based on the way the defense has played, even though they have a better record and have a chance to win the division for the first time since 2008, they actually feel worse about this team and this unit just based on the defense and how bad it's been. It's just interesting to compare this year's Titans team and last year's Titans team and the way the fan base, I think, feels about it heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look, going into that game, I mean, I remember it was like, you know what? This team might just kill that dynasty. This might be it. I think a lot of people thought so around the league. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people around the league thought so. I think definitely, like you said, Titans fans felt good, and they should have felt good, you know, obviously. So there was major momentum. That team will always be looked back on as, oh, 9-7 team that made a run, but it wasn't. It was a 7-3 team with that quarterback with momentum. Probably 8-2 if they don't rest Derrick Henry for a game going into the postseason. And this, I mean, obviously there's no momentum right now when you come off 40-14 and you're in this high pressure situation. But you go out and thump the Texans Sunday and you can turn that feeling around a little bit.
But and speaking of that, you go out and thump the Texans on Sunday and you've done something that you haven't done as a franchise since 2008. Can't we just take a little time to enjoy that for a little bit? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game's college football game of the week is a doubleheader presented by Gary Force Acura. It all starts with the Rose Bowl as number one Alabama takes on number four Notre Dame, followed by the Sugar Bowl with number two Clemson facing off against number three Ohio State. It all starts at 2 p.m. on 102.5 The Game this Friday. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we'll have Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio joining us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We will get into the college football playoffs and the matchups coming up this weekend. Lots to look forward to with the college football playoff semifinals on the way. But, Joe, in the meantime, we got a lot of football to talk about still with the Tennessee Titans, and I get it. You just got beat 40-14 by Green Bay. You look at the defensive side of the ball, and it's been an absolute train wreck for most of the year. So it's hard for Titans fans to forecast what's going to happen in the playoffs and get, I think, too overly excited about it because of how badly the defense has struggled. But you got to remember, they are 10-5. They do have an opportunity on Sunday to win the division for the first time since 2008, which obviously, as you hear that, and I think they've won the division three times since they've been the Titans here in Nashville. It doesn't come around very often. I don't feel like we're doing a good enough job here in this market of kind of taking stock of that and appreciating it for what it is. It's hard to win the AFC South, and the Titans, they got a chance to do it on Sunday for the first time since 08.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, regular season achievement. I mean, just like, you know, I think all pro sports, there are things you go after the regular season, and at times they're celebrated, but it's very much about the postseason, understandably. So I don't blame anyone for, like, one, being nervous about this team, not happy with the defense, unsure about what this team might do in the postseason. But that still is a pretty significant achievement, as you said. I mean, so you said three division titles. Is that three AFC South titles? since the AFC South was created.
I want to say they've got two in the AFC South and one in the Central.
Yeah, when the old Central early. You know, I mean, that's obviously what it means is, I mean, look, what most people would probably look at, what does that mean? Well, it guarantees you a home playoff game. You know, I mean, that's the payoff. But, I mean, it's still something that you can hang up, some kind of a banner, you know, some kind of something you can put on the wall in the building. And it means something in terms of, you know, when you're in a division over a period of time, and this division isn't like some of the others in the NFL when you're talking about decades and decades of bitterness, but, you know, you don't like the Jags, the Colts, the Texans. And so when you have a chance to have bragging rights just in that little group, I think that's something to enjoy at least for a minute if they can get it done Sunday. Obviously, the Colts have dominated. I'm looking at the division winners. You know, the Titans won the very first one, the 0-2, and then they won, in 0-8, and that's it. And it's been heavy Colts, and lately it's been heavy Texans. I mean, the Texans have, six of the last, looks like nine, which is interesting. I would not have guessed that. You know, the Jags have that one division title and the Titans have the two. So, I mean, I think it's something that is, you know, again, what are we going to be talking about Sunday if they win, what the playoff matchup is, right? I mean, you get right to the postseason and you don't have a lot of time to think about it, but it's another thing to me that charts progress to get to that point. You know, you get to 11-5, you win the division. Well, that's the best season in 12 years, even if it's been a very uneven and at times alarming season.
I think the way the fan base is going to feel about winning the division is going to be based off assuming they beat Houston / if they beat Houston on Sunday, how it happens. Like if they have to come from behind to do it or they have to hold on and survive to do it, I think there's not going to be as much excitement about winning the division for the first time in 12 years as there would be if they go out and treat this like the Jacksonville game and win by three touchdowns.
Yeah. No, I think so that's a good point.
But if Tannehill and, you know, and they come back, have one dramatic drive, you know, and it's like this memorable moment for the franchise. I mean, look, say what you will about Marcus, that little stiff arm on Barry Church, you know, got that team. That's a play that people are going to remember, you know, because it got them into the playoffs, the Jaguars. You don't think a dramatic win with you know, Tannehill, Henry, A.J. Brown making big plays late would be celebrated?
I think it would, but maybe more so from a relief standpoint than an excitement standpoint.
Well, it also depends on how it happens, too. Like, if you have a game-winning drive by the Titans and the final score is 45-38, you're like, oh, God, that defense just gave up 38 points to the Texans. Like, what are they going to do against the Bills? Like, I think there's some of that, too, where if it's a game-winning drive late and the defense has just been shelled all day, I don't know how great Titans fans are going to feel about that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, though, is even though, I mean, obviously the Texans are, you know, I mean, they're 4-11, but I think that this quarterback, this offense, I think there's playoff teams that they'd rather face than this one, right? I mean, I think there's playoff offenses that they would rather face than Deshaun Watson. Like, I mean, like, will anyone be surprised if it's 45-38?
No. No. There's not a thing about this Titans defense right now that would surprise me. Not at all. Except perhaps like holding somebody to 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, basically other than, you know, they obviously do a good job. They do a good job against the Ravens. And, you know, they did a good job against the Bears. But honestly, like, what if they played the Bears right now, you know, with Mitch back in there? I mean, that was kind of a break for them to – it was that little midseason where the Bears are going with Nick Foles and he's just awful. Other than that, you know, it's Jaguars, that's great. You know, you held them down, but it's very slim pickings in terms of good defensive performances. So, but, you know, still, I mean, overall, 11-5, if we go by you are what your record says you are, and also in a really good AFC, right now the Titans are 3-3 against AFC, you know, playoff teams that are in the picture, 4-4 overall in the NFL. That's a pretty good year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is one of those things where it's interesting to kind of monitor how you celebrate regular season stuff. Like you talked about that to begin. You know, I think if you're just so focused in on the postseason, I get it. I'm largely that way too when I view my teams. But at the end of the day, if that's all you view through the lens, like you're never really happy unless you win a Super Bowl. You're like, okay, well, no matter what you do throughout the regular season, doesn't matter if you don't win a championship in the postseason. I think there's some middle ground. Like I think you could kind of stop and be proud of what this team has accomplished and how they've won the division, assuming this happens on Sunday, while also still recognizing that there are some faults heading into the playoffs and that a deep run to the Super Bowl is probably unlikely just based on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, again, we've talked about the Lions with one playoff win since, you know, 1957. So if that franchise were to win a single playoff game, you know, you're talking about a big fan base that's completely up in arms in celebration.
Right.
I mean, the Titans have won three playoff games in the past three postseasons, you know? So, I mean, and that's the thing, too, is you raise – when you have success, you obviously raise the expectations. We've seen it with the Predators, you know, the way that they have been viewed – and I think fairly, but I mean, the way they've been viewed since that run in 17, it just totally changed. And I think last year with the Titans, when you get to the AFC title game, because it wasn't a fluke, people want to say it was, it really wasn't a fluke. And that's where I think it's harder to celebrate this, because how do you not look at this team and one, think about, you know, how they might have a tough time matching up with a lot of teams in the postseason, but also, man, if they just did this, 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 and didn't do this, 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 what would this team be right now? This might be a team that really has a shot to get to the Super Bowl.
Going to make a comparison that might be a little out there, but stay with me here. Doesn't this regular season, and if the Titans win Sunday and win the division, almost feel like what we saw with the Nashville Predators in the 2018-19 season, where that team coming off President's Trophy 2 years prior, they went to the Stanley Cup Final. You have all this hype and excitement. Titans start 5-0 this year. They go through some turbulence, just like the Preds did that regular season. And when the Preds won that division title, yes, there was excitement in the fact that Victor Arvidsson had the dramatic goal late in the game to get the single-season goal record for the Preds, but they win the division for back-to-back seasons. But there was just kind of this feeling of, this team isn't as well suited for the playoffs as they were in the previous couple years, where if the Titans go out there and win Sunday, I think there will be excitement, especially depending on how they do it. But there's still, I said it earlier this week, there's like this ominous cloud over this Titans team because of that defense and just how awful it is and how they can't stop a nosebleed and how you almost just have to pray just to get a stop.
Yeah. I don't hate that comparison. I don't hate that. I think there's some parallels.
No, I think I agree. And, you know, it's unfortunate, and that goes back to the conversation we were having about wasting this offense, but that's going to be what it is. I mean, you've got a division winner that I think you feel good about, and also just the situation being what it is, I think that takes away from it too with COVID and having a home playoff game. If you win the division, it's just not the same. I know that you've got some fans in there. Like, for instance, if this is a normal year and the Titans' defense is as bad as it is, I still think there's more excitement about winning the division because you've got the home playoff game and a sellout crowd, and you've got more people invested going that way. I think with the crowd being what it is and home field advantage really not meaning a whole lot this time of year based on COVID and based on everything we've seen, I think that takes away from the excitement as well.
No, that's a great point, because there would be a lot more talk about what is Nashville going to be like on, you know, Saturday or Sunday, whenever the game would be. Like, wow, what a scene that will be. And now it'll be, I mean, look, it'll still be a better scene than, you know, like Buffalo or some of these other places that have zero fans in the stands. But it's not the same. And that's the huge payoff. You know, if you win the division, just like those lovely NFC East teams, that three of them are still alive, that you get a home playoff game, and in all but this year, that means something.
We'll switch gears when we come back and dive into the college football playoff. Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio will join us. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.